The best of the Wednesday bookmark on CHRI. We'll highlight some of our favorite interviews and give you a chance to discover some great reads you might have missed. The Summer Best of Wednesday Bookmark is back on CHRI.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is Karen Doyle Buckwalter. Karen is Director of Program Strategy at Chaddock in Quincy, Illinois. She serves on the Board of Directors Advisory Board of the TheraPlay Institute in Chicago. Karen has also trained and consulted at family behavioral health organizations and foster care centers in the U.S., the U.K., Australia, Denmark, and beyond. We're going to talk this morning about her new book, co-authored with Debbie Reed and Wendy Lyon Sunshine, Raising the Challenging Child, How to Minimize Meltdowns, Reduce Conflict, and Increase Cooperation. Great to talk with you, Karen.
Yes, so happy to be here, Brock.
At Chaddock, you and your team have done a deep dive into brain science, early childhood development, attachment trauma, and so on. Tell us more about your work at Chaddock and how it led to this book.
Yes, absolutely. So Chaddock has been around since 1853. We're located in Quincy, Illinois, in the United States. And we've really evolved over the years to meet the needs of children. And in the last 25 years or so, we began specializing in working with children with severe attachment disorders and issues related to trauma. Many of these children were adopted out of the foster care system or adopted out of orphanage care internationally. Really, children that we were kind of their last stop. Their parents had tried a lot of therapists and treatment programs and doctors and psychologists and social workers, and they ended up coming to be with us. We have a residential treatment program where kids live with us for a period of time as we work very intensely with them therapeutically. However, what we found, you know, as we were working with these children and just learning lots of new things, as you said, from brain science, from attachment literature, from attachment research, from trauma research, we started feeling like, wait a minute, these ideas are helping with my own kids at home. And we would have staff members say, hey, a lot of the things that we're learning about that are effective with kids here at Chaddock, I'm using on the ball field, or I'm using in the nursery or Sunday school class at church, and it's really impacting the kids. So we decided, you know, we really wanted to move out of just our niche of the children that we were working with severe attachment and trauma issues, and take some of these ideas to the masses, so to speak, and write a more generalist parenting book. So that's what we did.
So you discussed 30 different parenting tools that have proven effective, and let's touch on just a few of those over these next few minutes. The first one you cover is the relationship bank. How does that work?
Yes. So one of the, you know, parents will say, well, what if my kid has a meltdown, or what if my kid doesn't cooperate, or what if we deal with conflict all the time, you know, looking at our subtitle of what the book is about. And one of the things that we always start saying is the best thing to do for issues like that is to catch them before they happen. So prevention and being proactive. If you can avoid a tantrum, if you can avoid a meltdown, if you can avoid a big blow up with your child, and one of the best ways to do that is a concept, as you said, we call the relationship bank. And so the way we talk about that is, you know, everybody knows that a bank account, you have to make deposits, because if you want to make a withdrawal, you have to have money in the bank account. And so we look at the relationship with your child in that way. So we would say deposits would be a word of affirmation to your child, or complimenting something they've done, or validating their feelings. Hey, you're really upset about that, buddy. You know, whatever that is, positive remarks, encouraging remarks, affirming and validating remarks. Giving choices is another way to make deposits in their relationship bank account. All of those things make deposits so that when you have to make a withdrawal, such as, no, we need to do this now. There's no negotiation. Now you need to clean up your room. Now you need to do your homework. Now we need to get out, but get your coat, get your stuff together. We need to be, you know, your doctor's appointment in 15 minutes. A lot of those general things where we have to demand our kid does something right away, basically order them around, which is just part of parenting and part of life. But when you have to make those withdrawals and say no, or maybe have your child do something they really don't feel like doing, like their homework or the dishes after dinner, you're much less likely to have a meltdown or lack of cooperation or anger and frustration if you have deposits in that account before you make a withdrawal like that. So that is one of our big concepts. Try to have deposits, because life and parenting is going to have withdrawals, and the withdrawals will go better if you have a balance.
I love that way of thinking about it. Another thing you talk about, you kind of hinted at this a second ago, is sharing power to gain power. And a lot of us were raised to believe that if a child obeys us, like it's all about the obedience, it means they respect us. But that's not necessarily true, is it?
It's not. And, you know, I think what you're saying, a lot of parents think that they're instilling respect when they're instilling fear. And there's a difference. We want our children to cooperate because they respect us, not because they're afraid of us. And so when we talk about share power to gain power, we don't mean that everything has to be a democratic decision. We recognize, and in other parts of the book we talk about this, the importance of parents being in charge, parents having structure, parents having rules, all of that. I want to say that first so nobody gets all worried that we're suggesting, you know, the children should be running the show. We're not. But in terms of share power to gain power, there are a lot of ways that we can give choices to kids all throughout the day and through everyday life. I mean, for a young child, it could be something as simple as, do you want the blue sippy cup or the red sippy cup? For an older child, it could be something like, would you like to start your homework before your chore or after your chore? I mean, these kinds of things, really, in the grand scheme, they don't matter. So why not empower kids to make some choices about some of those things? And, you know, we know everybody likes to be able to have some power and control over their life. And there are certainly many ways children can't and shouldn't have that, but why not give them some ways that they can? Again, that will lead during other times when you really can't give them a choice or you do have to have all the power, that will lead to them being more likely to accept that and be okay with that.
You're not a big believer in asking what's wrong. So what should parents be saying instead of that?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that we're not a big believer in that is because, you know, having worked with hundreds of kids day in and day out over all of these years at TEDx, you very often get something like, I don't know, nothing, something like that. Okay, so the first reason to not ask that question is because, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when you ask that, you know, I don't know if you have children or if you'd be asking that, you don't get a good response. So a better, and some of it is because children, especially depending on their age, are not so good at identifying feelings and emotions yet. I mean, that's part of what we help them do as they grow up. And we help them find words for their feelings. We help them be able to express themselves verbally instead of behaviorally. I mean, when babies start out, the only reason we know anything's going on is their behavior or their, you know, voice crying. And children have to learn from us how to identify feelings, how to attach words to that, and how to express that. And so we would rather, you know, usually when parents say something like that, they kind of have an idea what's going on with the kid. So, I mean, I would say a lot of times parents are kind of experts, you know, on their children and what their different cues mean. And, you know, it's more effective to say something like, wow, you look like you're kind of down. Or, oh, you look really excited about that. Or, oh, looks like you're not so sure about that. The beauty of that is you are giving words. You are helping a child begin to identify their emotional state. You know, let's face it, Brock, a lot of adults have a hard time identifying their emotional state.
True.
So the more we can practice this, the better. So the other good thing about it is, say you're totally wrong. I mean, you can say this with curiosity and wondering in your voice rather than a pronouncement. If you're totally wrong, your kid's going to let you know, no, that's not what I am. I'm mad, or no, I'm nervous, or no, you know, whatever. So your child is going to correct you, but at least you're going to be getting the dialogue going with identifying how you're feeling, giving words to it, giving a name to it. The way we avoid acting out our feelings is learning to use our voice and identify a feeling. You know, I'm really sad. I need some help with this. Or I'm really overwhelmed with my homework. I need some support with this. These are the kind of things that will avoid the meltdowns, the tantrums, and that kind of thing, and ways that you can be proactive in intervening with levels of support that are needed before the bottom kind of falls out, so to speak.
Well, as we've mentioned, there are 30 different parenting tools discussed in this book. I think we got to three of them and our time is gone, but there's so much more great content in here. So I would encourage you to consider picking up a copy of the book. We'll have all those links on our website. Karen Doyle Buckwalter, again, joining us. The book we've been discussing, Raising the Challenging Child, How to Minimize Meltdowns, Reduce Conflict, and Increase Cooperation. Love the book. Great stuff, Karen. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here and be featured on your program, and I hope that folks find the discussion helpful.
The best of the Wednesday bookmark on CHRI. To find out more about this week's bookmark or hear the author interview again or to discover previous books, go to chri.ca.